from stpetecatalyst.com.
Welcome to Political Party with Adam Smith. We're lucky to have the bad boy of Florida politics, the man, the legend, Anthony Pettacini. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
So, and I say bad boy with some admiration. Like, there are a lot of political consultants who are play rough and play hardball and play to win and then pretend they're super idealists. I'm not saying you're not an idealist, but you make no bones about how rough and tumble you are. Am I right?
Well, it's a rough and tumble business. And when I got started 20 years ago, I learned at the boot of Randy Nielsen, who at that period in Florida politics was the most rough and tumble guy in the room.
And now you probably are.
I think I am. I think I inherited that from me and Rich Johnston over there in Public Concepts. But, you know, we have two sayings, right? If it's true, it's fair. And if you're going to get in the arena, you're going to get punched. So, you know, it's interesting, though, Adam. This year it was a little different. When I say in the arena, I mean, if you put your name on the ballot, you're in the arena. I don't consider myself or you or Peter Schorsch or any of our other friends that do this for a living. We're not on the ballot, so we shouldn't be fair game. But this year we were. People attacked me. They attacked my business partner. People are just getting really difficult out there. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's getting worse each year. It's a little bit different because we're now, there's things that are happening to us, whether it's, I got letters in the mail at home. Somebody looked at my home address and wanted to send me something on a candidate without sending it to the office. And I thought to myself, well, I'm going to break. I don't know why it would matter that you found my home address. Some of this is just weird. And it's never been like that. It's never been weird before. This year was weird.
So for those who don't know you, you and your partner, Tom Piccolo, I mean, the main House candidates, the state House candidates, picked up 5 seats, some big upsets. You've had your finger in a gazillion races, legislative races, in the last, 10 years or so, right?
At least, yeah.
Strategic image management.
Yeah, we affectionately call it Sim Wins. Tom and I met, Piccolo was a candidate for the State House in 2006, I think. Actually ran against Rick Kreisman and outperformed the top of the ticket, which was great, but it was just a rough seat. He tells a story about how I showed up and promised him a chunk of money and said, hey, I want to help you run this race. And nothing's ever changed. I mean, look, there's not many things you get to choose in your life, right? I mean, you choose what you wear, can't choose your family. I got to choose a great business partner, and I'm glad he chose me back. I'm beyond lucky to have Tom. Tom is a, all of our friends and family would tell you and our clients that it's like the yin and yang approach to life. Although I will tell you, Tom was extremely stressed out this year with the speaker's agenda on his plate. So, but he handled it well, and the result was fantastic.
And it's good that he's a much nicer guy than his brother, Fred, in Tallahassee.
Fred's the funniest Piccolo, I think. I really do.
I've known Fred since Catherine Harris days, although he doesn't like to talk about Catherine Harris.
Probably. Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. So help make sense of this cycle.
Let's have a Cuban coffee for you.
Oh, good. So, what are the broad lessons that you? Where is Florida? What can we learn about where Florida politics is as a political state based on what happened?
I still think Florida is the swingiest swing state that there is. This year was just another example, right? So they swung right on the top of the ticket. We swung right on all the undercard races. Then locally, I'll give you South Tampa is the greatest example, right? You had voters who chose Harry Cohen, a Democrat, for commission, Jackie Toledo, a Republican, for state house, Pat Kemp, another Democrat, for county commission, and then Chad Cronister for sheriff, a Republican, then Bob Henriquez, a Democrat, for property appraiser. So in this region, Tampa Bay, Tampa's like the swingiest place there is. So I don't think we deviated very much from that moniker. I think a couple things happened in a lot of important races that everybody was watching, right? One was candidate recruitment. The Republicans statewide did a much better job than Democrats at getting quality local candidates from the top of the ticket south, okay? I think also the types of campaigns that I saw run on both sides were much better run by the Republican candidates, and whether it was House or Senate campaigns, or whether it was, you know, the NRCC, whoever, I think everything was made to feel more local. Like, I know, for example, again, Tampa Bay, Scott Franklin, there was no like overarching national thing about Scott in any of the media that I saw, Mark Reichelderfer do. It was much more about where he was from and his story and how he connected with people and how he'll go to DC and fight for them. I think that was a much stronger message than the Democrats had, like throw Trump out. That kind of didn't work in Florida.
If you're in some districts, you would want to nationalize the race because in some districts, Trump is a disaster. And, you know, Rick Priceman nationalizing the race last time against Rick Baker was a no-brainer.
That's right. That was perfect. And the timing on that was perfect. But I'll give you an example. So Mike Caruso, who's now a state representative again down in Palm Beach County, second to last Republican standing there, him and Rick Roth. Mike ran a race, and every poll we had, Mike was up except for one poll on our internal polls. So we knew Mike was going to be in a close one again. We didn't expect an 11-point victory. And that was a district where Trump, we had at one point, we had him down 17 points. And so we were bracing and waiting, and how do we handle it if they come? They never brought that. They did that same healthcare ad that they did everywhere else in the state that was just blah. And I don't want to teach the other side how to do this because, you know, we've had 20 years to figure this out. And, you know, I call it, you can laugh at me. We've talked about this at dinner, I think, the political industrial complex in Florida. If you're Republican running, you have your choice of 7 treasurers, maybe 8 that are worth their salt. You have your choice of 7 or 8 consulting firms. You have your choice of 7 or 8 pollsters. If you're a Democrat, you have no choices. You've got you guys and Walker and maybe Over, and then maybe Dylan to do your mail. And after that, it's some pickings. So I think that the Republican side has just built a really big juggernaut that is, I mean, we all work together. We fight like cats and dogs in the primary. We'll talk about that as much as you want. When it comes to beating the bad guys on the other side, we are lockstep. Everybody calls, everybody shares information. You know, Brett Doster and I talk, people be like, no, you don't. Yes, we do. Pat Boehner and I talk. Yes, we, Mark Reichelderfer and I talk. You and I talk, Anna Cruz and I talk. I mean, it's just part of the beast when you get to this level that you're going to have friends that do this. You want to have similarities in your schedule and your life and be able to, you know, kind of communicate things. It's fantastic. So for people who are watching who don't know that, that happens. Like, it's great and it's part of the process.
I, at least in my, our neck of the woods, I would think that the Jen Webb, you guys unseated state representative Jennifer Webb, Democrat, in a swing but Democratic leaning district, I would call that the biggest upset. Am I missing one?
Yeah, there were 2 huge upsets. I think the defeat of, in our region, yes, that was the biggest upset. And then statewide, it was that one. And I think there were 3. I think it was Jennifer Webb, Dana Trabolsi in District 84, traditionally Black Democratic seat, and then JJR getting defeated. So if you want to start with Cheney, I met Linda Cheney when she ran for St. Pete Commission, I don't know how many years ago, 15 years ago.
She ran for St. Pete City Council?
She was on the St. Pete Beach, I'm sorry, St. Pete Beach.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She was a beach commissioner, did a great job, fought with the hoteliers, so they were like a little iffy about her. And she won the battles that she engaged in. And then she walked away. She said, I had enough of this. And she was a single mom, great story. Here's the one thing I remembered when I ran that race with her. In very Miami fashion, Linda Cheney walked around with a binder. And every house she went to, she took all the notes she could, white Suburban, barking dog, blah, blah, blah. The second time she walked those doors, she brought dog treats for the people who had dogs. Like, and she knew everything about them in that binder. So when we were recruiting a candidate, and I'm sure Jennifer Webb would tell you this because she heard about it, we couldn't find anybody. And the first one I went to was Linda Cheney, and she told me no. Then I went back at her a couple months
later. Jennifer Webb's reputation
was huge.
Was sort of like she was a work well with Republicans. She was going to be not that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. So everyone didn't want to do it. We talked to some other beach commissioners. I called Kathleen Peters, and she and I buried the hatchet over this race. It was great. But then I came back to Cheney's again, and I met with her and her new husband, and he was like, yeah, maybe, I don't know if I want to subject my wife to this. And she was like, I don't know, it's a bad time. We have this mammography business. They said no again. So COVID hits and we can't find anybody. And just by chance, Speaker Sprouse called and says, hey, AP, do me a favor. I know you're not into convincing people to run. And it's a long story with that. We don't do that here. But give Linda Cheney one more call for me. And I'm like, Chris, I really don't want to. She said no to me twice. Like, I don't want to be, it's going to come off as pushy. She goes, just do it for me. I said, fine, I'll do it for you. This is exactly how the conversation went. Hey, Linda, I know you're going to say no. I'm not here to call you to convince you. The speaker asked me to call you again. You're sure you don't want to run? And she goes, actually, we've been talking about that today. I think I want to do it. I went, what? Wait a minute. She goes, so some things have changed in our business life, and I think I'm ready, and something happened to us that it just feel like it's supposed to be. And I was like, call you right back. And that was it. And Linda Cheney was a candidate.
If the, like the Miami race, I put that in a different category because Miami was so huge for Republicans. But do you think in this race, Linda Cheney would have run had the Florida Democratic Party not taken that PPP money?
Yes. Oh, no, I know she would have, because when she said yes to running, the PPP money hadn't happened. I think from a 50,000-foot view, the candidates that were recruited, Dana Trabolsi, Linda Cheney, even Bruno Portigliatti in Orlando, these were really good, top-quality, hardworking, going to hit the pavement, going to raise as much money as they could kind of candidates. I think what, and just watching this from the close position that I got to, I don't think Jennifer Webb thought Linda Cheney was a serious contender. And I think she underestimated her. And when Linda got out there and knocked on the same door for the third time in this past House race, it was about 30 days before Election Day. That's when I saw the Jennifer Webb camp like spring into action, like, oh, crap, we have a real race here. And not that she was sleeping at the switch, but she did disappear for a little bit. And Linda was out there walking and the Democrats stopped walking, which I think was a huge miscalculation on their part. I think Linda just outworked her a little bit. And, you know, that district is left leaning, but you'd be surprised, right? Cheney won the northern part of that district all the way east, which should be like around Kentwood, which that should be deep, dark blue. And it was not. So that's to her credit, I think, primarily.
So little bone to pick or craw. It seemed like as a local guy who sometimes is involved with groups like Tiger Bay, the Republican candidates, local and state, just skipped all ostensibly nonpartisan, bipartisan forums. That all your candidates only did, you know, conservative grounds and GOP town hall kind of things.
Well, so interesting, right? So the two biggest attacks we had on Julie Jenkins came from her interview at Tiger Bay. The two biggest attacks we had on Jennifer Webb came from a similar forum in St. Pete. In the primary, the biggest attack, I ran a race against Fiona McFarland down in Sarasota that we lost by 200 votes. It was $400,000 versus $90,000. I figured it was a great race that no one talks about. She had three UJERs in a Tiger Bay interview. So we kind of made a decision that not that people don't deserve to have these debates and they don't need to, but if we're going to go ahead and stub our own toe, we're not going to do it live in front of 500 people online. It's
That's
not worth
so
it.
Shitty though.
For I'm sorry.
That's for yeah, but from, like people but, have, public have a chance to question.
Yeah, but so here's, but you know this, right? You're on this side now. And so as a if I had my reporter hat on, which I've never been, but if I was, I would say the exact same thing as you. But from a campaign management message control standpoint, the discipline that you need to go into Tiger Bay and not shoot your foot off is enormous. And none of these candidates, barring maybe 10 or 15 of them, really have that level. Most of them are good, but they'll get squidgy on certain things. And is it worth it if you're the Speaker of the House or the Senate President pouring millions of dollars into a pickup seat or a race seat you have to hold to have a candidate go and flub it up because they answered a question in Tiger Bay Room? No. And to be honest with you,
I never hear candidates say anything interesting enough in those forums to be used against them.
Well, but here you go, Julie Jenkins. I will not return that money. The best sentence of the campaign. And that ruined her race. She was done at that point. So it's not really that they say anything interesting. Is where's the nugget? I'll give you another example. Fred Hawkins, great guy, great candidate, got arrested in the middle of his race. And it was just like we got hit with one stick after another in that thing. I got really pissed off about 2 weeks after the primary and just started researching this Barbara Katie lady because we didn't have anything. We didn't really think we'd be up this big of a creek. So on her Facebook page, about 2 weeks down, there's an online interview where she calls Sheriff Grady Judd deplorable and says he's sexist and And I watched this thing on Facebook, Adam. I was like, there's no way this woman really said this on camera. So I rewound it. I called everybody in the office. I'm like, you guys need to watch this. And they were like, holy crap, you just won Fred Hawkins race. Because part of that district's in Polk. So yeah, again.
Speaking of which, I'm cutting you off. But
no, Brady Judge
is the most popular politician in all of Tampa Bay, I would guess.
I would say yes. I think Sheriff Cronister has made a huge push as far as being in the media market where the sheriff is. But everyone loves Grady, right? So from Osceola, because he's in both media markets. He's half Orlando, half Tampa. So there's a great, can I give you a great Grady Judd story I heard once?
Yeah.
Every summer, Sheriff Judd takes his family in an RV and they go out west. And they're in Montana. And he goes down to the river to fish. And the kids are like up there by the RV. Saw the Polk County, Florida tag. And they stopped. And they were from another state. And they asked the kids, they're like, hey, you guys are from Polk County, Florida. Do you know that guy, Sheriff Judd? Sheriff something Judd. And they're like, Sheriff Judd? And then he's like, yeah, that's my dad. He's right down there. And the guy was like, oh, my God, I got to meet him. And this is someone that wasn't even from Florida. So, yeah, I think he's definitely probably the most popular guy. And I wouldn't if I was running for office, and I would definitely not advise any candidates thinking of running, of attacking your local sheriff. Probably not a good idea on any level.
You should get him to run for governor.
I don't think
he'd walk away with it.
But why would you want to be anything but the sheriff?
You're right.
You got to hang out with the sheriffs. The sheriffs are like, they're awesome. And they don't have to, all they have to worry about is something that they can't control happening, that they can't put, they can't figure out a way to fix it. So
I just want to see a John Morgan, Grady Judd race.
How awesome would that be?
And they're good friends. I know they were on the opposite side of marijuana, but they're very friendly. What else? What this coming year, what's going to be your life?
Well, I'm homeless as of today. I sold my townhome in 16 years, and I'm renovating a nice South Tampa house. So my renovation project is absolutely in high gear. So that's going to be the biggest thrust of what I do.
It's like a 10,000 square foot house that you're renovating?
I wish I had a 10,000. I can't afford that. I have a nice small historic home in Beach Park. But don't worry, we'll have a party there, Adam. We're going to have a big party.
Okay, I want to be there. Are you going to play in St. Pete's mayor's race?
Well, if we're invited to play, we're the kids with the pail at the sandbox. If someone asks us to help build a castle, we will. And we're ready to go. There's so much. This is Florida, right? So we're sitting here today. It's before Thanksgiving. It's after the general election. We can prognosticate who's going to run, what's going to be running, who's going to be up. I found out yesterday that Representative Caruso's wife, Tracy, is running for mayor of Delray Beach. So we'll have that race in January, February, March. There's all sorts of stuff like that that'll pop up, and we're excited to do it. This is what we do, and yeah, we'll be invited. If we're invited, we'll be happy to help. We love it. This is what we do.
We're a long way away from the next state cycle, and it's an eternity. Blah blah blah. Is there any Democrat that you look at that you think, man, now they would be formidable for a statewide office like governor, senator?
Yeah, so I used to say that about Bob Buckhorn. Believe it or not, I thought Mayor Buckhorn did a tremendous job. A great name ID, has a conservative bent to him, hunts, fishes, that kind of thing. And he could definitely be a formidable candidate against Republicans.
I still say that about Bob Buckhorn.
The problem is, could Bob Buckhorn get out of a primary? So that's the seat.
Yeah.
And could he raise the money? So a lot of these questions are, can you pass the litmus test of the left or the right? And then can you, because some of these middle, like for example, Sean Harrison, greatest general election candidate in the world. But because of where he represented, he had to take some votes that he probably wouldn't do well in a Republican primary now. And there's a bunch of candidates like that in the last 10 years that have emerged. I'm going to be curious to see what President Galvano does in the next couple of years. I mean, that's what I love to watch. He's a good friend and been around with me a long time. But he took some votes and did some things like Parkland that we'll have to figure out in a primary. So, again, I think there's Harry Cohen would be a great candidate in a general election any day of the week. I love Harry. Harry gets it. I don't know how else to say that, but on a statewide level, he's not there yet. Democrats.
Who in your experience would you say is sort of the most naturally gifted superstar politician you work with?
Oh, Lord. Chad Cronister, the sheriff of Hillsborough.
Oh, really?
Guy just gets it. He's charismatic. He can go into a black neighborhood, they love him. He goes into a Hispanic neighborhood, they love him. Goes into South Tampa, they love him. He's got a superstar wife that backs him up. Power couple in every sense of the word. But their entire life is now retooled to helping the sheriff's office and the deputies there. And they just do such a great job. He just, I'll tell you something that I told his wife the other night at dinner. This year, as opposed to the last election we ran, I can show him the poll and go over it with him take an hour and go over with him. That guy will remember the number the rest of the campaign. So I couldn't like try to fudge him and say like, look, no, that's not the number one issue. And you're like, no, it was 74.3%. I remember. And I go, oh, let me look. And I look, I'm like, okay, you're right. So he was very, very gifted. I think Chris Sprouse is extremely charismatic and people gravitate to him.
I was still a reporter and he would show up.
I'm curious to see how he leaves the chamber.
And everybody, he'd show up at the newspaper and people are like, that guy's going to be speaker before he runs.
Yeah, for sure.
What's next for him? State attorney or something statewide?
I don't know. I like, you know, it's like all these presiding officers, you got to let them get through their thing before they get to do what they get to do. I'm going to watch for a long time. I'm curious to see what Chris Latvala does next. He's one of my friends and I'm a big supporter of Chris's. We have three signs in our conference room wall here at the office, and it's Chris Sprouse, Chris Latvala, Danny Burgess, because those were our first three folks when we started the new company. So, and they're all doing really well. And I mean, Danny to be a senator like that was awesome. He's extremely talented too. But the Miami guys are really talented. Then there's the guys that and the gals that you don't see that are just hardworking. Lawrence McClure here in Tampa, he's a super secret weapon in the chamber. You don't even see him. You don't even see him doing things, and all of a sudden things blow up, and it's like, who did that? I think Josie Tomko, should she choose to be a force to be reckoned with and be in politics a long time, she's young enough. Amber Mariano's young enough. She'll be around Pasco for a long time. In Tampa Bay, we're kind of lucky. We have a young crew.
We do a lot. You're right.
Compared to a lot of areas of the state, for sure.
All right. Well, Anthony, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Do it again. Next time I'll get your worst half, Tom, on too.
You got it. I'm sure he'll be happy to do it.
I've never Fred though.
From stpetecatalyst.com.